We have another abbreviated Daf Yomi Shir today. So today's Daf is officially Baba Kama Daf Ayin Beis. We left off on the very top of Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. So we have to do a Daf and a half today. Let's see, in a half hour. So let's get to work. We'll pick up again from the third line on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara had mentioned that if a person is ganav v'tavach b'shabbos, or ganav v'tavach level d'zara, or ganav shor niskal v'tavcho, that you pay dalet v'hei according to Rav Meir and according to the Chachamim, you're pater. So, frak the Gemara, Rav Meir, am I mechayiv shoch level d'zara? Why, when you shech level d'zara, should you be chayiv dalet v'hei? Given the shachar papur to asra, the second you start shechting a little bit, you made the whole animal asr, because you started shechting l'shem avod d'zara, so it became asr. Idach yisrei anahu v'lo d'mari katavach, and the rest of the shechita that you're doing is yisrei anah. You're doing shechita on an animal, it's yisrei anah, and therefore by definition you're not shechting an animal that belongs to the original owner. So you're only chayv dal v'lechora, you're only chayv dal v'he when you shecht an animal that still belongs to the original owner. But once you've already made this an animal that belongs to avod zara, it's asr b'hanah because it was done l'shem avod zara, so it doesn't belong to anybody because it's asr b'hanah. So how could you be chayv dal v'he? So Amarava, but Omer Bigmar's Vichahu Avda. No, it's a guy who says explicitly that he only intends to be Oved, the Avodah Zarah, with the Gemar's Vicha, with the end of the Shechita. The beginning of the Shechita, he has no intention of being Oved, the Avodah Zarah. Tosafot over here asks an important question. He says, Vim Tomar, Umabekach de Lav de Mar Katavach. Why does it matter that at the time that you're doing the Shechita, it no longer belongs to the original owner? Hakoltovech Nami Lav de Mar Katavach. Really? Any shechita you do, by the time you're done with the shechita, it doesn't belong to the original owner. Why? The mechi shachar paporta kanya b'shinoi meisa. The second you make the first incision, you're already kona the animal with the shinoi meisa, because you've made an incision in the animal. The animal is very different than it was when you got it. So why should the fact that it was at the beginning of it, you did it l'shem avod zara, why should that present any sort of problem in terms of the sense that it's lav demara katavach? It's no more lav demara than any other case of shechita, which has a shinoi meisa at the very beginning of the shechita. And therefore, you shouldn't be chayv dal v'hei at the end of the shechita. Now, that's not really called the shinoi meisa, meaning doing the shechita, the original incision, the shechita is not called a shinoi meisa in the sense of being kone. He says, why is it that Rav Meir says that you're chayav over here? Don't we explain that Rav Meir holds you don't need a shechita ru'uya? Because after all, we learn shechita from by Tavach Machar, from shute chutz, done in shechita mishchita, vein done in shechita mitvicha, mitva tavach v'achein. And the whole svara from Meir is that we link the word shechita with the word shechita, but not with the word tvicha. Aval hacha dechsev v'tavcho, over here we say tavcho, adrava, islan melef tfei, tvicha mitvicha, why would we say that the source of the whole idea that you don't need shechita ruya is the fact that we derive from the word shechita, whereas over here the word tvicha is the word that the Torah uses, not the word the word shechita? So Tosa suggests a few lines later, va'ol yishlam d'dan and davar nemar b'sinai. That's not the only factor. Is not just which word the Torah chooses. Another factor is whether the key word was already said at Har Sinai, was said before Har Sinai. Tvach Tavach Vachein was said obviously before Har Sinai in Sefer Bereishis, and therefore we'd rather learn Shechita from the Tvicha over here of Dalet Vehei from Shechita rather than connect it to Tvach Tavach Vachein that we have by Yosef. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Shor Niskal Yisurei Ananin who loved the Marka Tavach, but don't you have a problem with Shor Niskal as well when you shech the Shor Niskal? So again, Vayter is Asr Bahana, and therefore doesn't belong to the original owner. So why are you chayv dal v'hei on shor niskal? Amar Rava hacha ma'yaskin on shemasru l'shomer v'hizik b'beis shomer. Now the case over here is you gave the shor to a shomer. The animal, while it was in the shomer's house, did damage. V'huad b'beis shomer. The animal became a muad while it was in the shomer's house. v'nigmar dino b'bei shomer, and the animal had a gemar din as a shor niskal all in the shomer's house. So what? How does that help us? Rav Meir sov like Rav Yaakov, v'sfir like Rav Shimon, and Rav Meir holds both like Rav Yaakov and like Rav Shimon. Sov like Rav Yaakov, damar af mishnigmar dino zimar shomer l'bay l'muchzar. He holds like Rav Yaakov in the sense that even after the shor is a gemar din, all the shomer has to do is return the shor to the owner, and he say, "Look, Harishal Chalufanecha. This is the shor you gave me. I'm giving it back right now. Shkayach, thank you very much. I, when he gave it to him, it wasn't Asr Ba'ana, and it was perfectly fine. And now I'm giving it back. It's the shor Niskal. It's going to be killed by Bezdin tomorrow. Yeah, that's not my problem. I give him back his same shor." So he holds that that's all you need to do, even though the shor is worthless right now because it's a shor Niskal. Still, you can give it back to him, and that's all you have to do. That's your entire responsibility as a shomer. The Savar like Rabbi Shimon, and he also holds like Rabbi Shimon, that anything that can get me out of paying money is considered like money itself. So therefore, even though it's true, this shor has zero value, but if I, the shomer, can give it back to the original owner and therefore be exempt from paying him back a shor that does have value, whereas if I were to lose this shor, or if this shor were stolen from me, or if this shor were killed, I would not be able to return it, and then I would have to pay back a full valued shor. So therefore, this shor is a davar garim lemamon. This shor, for me, is considered like mamon. So Rabbi Shimon holds that davar garim lemamon is kamamon dami. So over here as well, even though you're right, when you're toveach it, when the guy steals it and shechts it, it does not belong to the original owner anymore because it's asr bana. But still, the guy who you stole it from, namely the shomer, views that shor aniskal as a shor that certainly has value. It has value to him because he could have used it to pay back the original owner for the pikadon. But now he's not going to be able to, and therefore you could still be chayiv dal vehei. Amar of Kahana. Yeah, just in general, Tosaf here points out, Savalok Rabbi Shimon Dam Dovar Gram Lam Kamamadami, Fractosis Tema, the Lamadi, the name of the Savalok Rabbi Shimon, the name of the Rameel Tame, the Dun Din the Garmi. He says, why do you need Dovar Gram Lam Kamamadami over here? Shouldn't you just say that he also grabbed Mary, that is Din of the Garmi? Meaning, if you hold that you're Dun Din of the Garmi, then if you're Vada going to be Mechaev in the case of Dovar Gram Lam. Dovar Gram Lam is a less extreme Shita than da in dina de garmi. So you can just say that Rameir holds da in dina de garmi, and that's why you're going to be chayiv over here. Because after all, the Gemara later on in the Masechta says that when Rabbi Shimon says that davar garm the mamon is kamamon, I mean that's only davar she'ikaro mamon, something that is fundamentally valuable. But davar she'eni karo mamon, but something that itself is not valuable, like when you burn someone else's shtaros, then he would not say it's kamamon dami. Whereas Rav Meir, who holds dan din l'dgarmi, holds that even burning someone else's shtaros you're going to be chayiv for. That's the definition of dan din l'dgarmi. So Tosus suggests in the fourth line of Tosus, Yishlomer di ikonami svara lemei maripcha, that not only is there a svara to say, as we thought in the question, that davra garim l'mamon is less extreme, is less of a chiyuv than da in din l'dgarmi, there's really a svara to say the opposite as well. Dal karcha chlo mechayv Rameir ella bedina d'garmi, kigon besorv soro shel chavero. The Rameir is only going to be mechayv in cases of dina d'garmi, like soriv soro shel chavero chiyotzi bo, sheroi ashtar lekola olam nimchor ligvos bo. Why? Because by the case of soriv soro shel chavero, anyone who has that shtar can use it to collect and would get money with it. So therefore, it's considered a much greater hezek and a much greater chiyuv if you damage a shtar that theoretically could be used by anybody. As opposed to, in our case, what are you damaging? A shor aniskal. The shor aniskal has value to exactly one person in the entire world, namely the shomer. The shomer, it has value to him because he could return it to the original owner. Nobody else would see any value in the shor aniskal, and therefore there's a svara to say that davar garm lemamon would be, that even if you'll done dina d'garmi, that's only when it comes to something that has universal appeal and universal value. But something that does not, something that's only valuable to one person, you would not be chayef for, is not called a real hazak. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Kana Amrisha, Amrisha L'Shmaita Kamed Rav Zudmin Hardab, We've said this over in front of Rav Zudman and Adah. Mimatz mukma asnizin k'Rav Meir v'lo k'Rav Shimon. How can we say that our Mishnah is only going like the sheet of Rav Meir and not like Rav Shimon? V'akatani seif, Rav Shimon poter b'shnei elu. The Seifa says that Rav Shimon holds that you're poter in the last two cases. I mean, if you recall, the Mishnah in Ayin Amar Aleph had said that it had given a whole bunch of cases where you're chayiv dalet v'hei. And then at the end it says that if you shecht it l'refua or for dogs or you shecht it, it's a tray for it's kulum ba'azara, you pay dalet v'hei. And then Rabbi Shimon comes and says, no, you're putter on the last two. You don't pay dalet v'hei on the last two, namely when you shecht kulum ba'azara and when you shecht it and it turns out to be a treifa. So how can you say that Rabbi Shimon is not the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon only patters on the last two, only disagrees with the last two. Melchal de b'kulum asnis moda. Which implies that he would be moda to the rest of the Mishnah. So how can you say that Rabbi Shimon is not the author of the Mishnah? How can we exclude Rabbi Shimon, preclude the possibility that Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Mishnah? Tosfos says over here, Ksas kasha, demat diyuk huza. What kind of diyuk is that? When do you ever have a diyuk like that? That because Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the last two cases, he must be the author of the first part of the Mishnah? It's a little bit strange, no? He's not the author of any of it. He disagrees with the last two cases. No, well, when do we have a diuk that because he disagrees with the last two cases? Yes, because he disagrees with the last two cases, we might see that he might agree with some of the other cases, not necessarily with all of them, but with some of the other cases, but certainly not that he's the author of it. But anyway, it says the fact that he disagrees with the last two does not show that he agrees with the entire rest of the Mishnah, just with the whole second set of cases, except for the last two. I mean, if you recall, the way the Mishnah was set up, the Mishnah had a whole bunch of cases. Then we said, all those cases. And we said, period. Then we had the Refua, Leklavim, Trefa, Chulin Bazara. So where Rabbi Shimon says that I disagree with the last two of that set of four, but the first half of the Mishnah might disagree with the entire thing. Meaning the only part that you could be medayik that Rabbi Shimon agrees with are the first two in the last set of the Mishnah, in the four final cases of the Mishnah. So that's why it's not a problem to say that the ratio of the Mishnah is going against the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the Mishnah then said, "Ganav mishalav v'tavach u'machar." The Mishnah had said again on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph that if a person steals from his father and he shechts it and he sells it and then his father dies, so you're going to pay dalid v'hei. So says the Gemara, "Ganav mishal." So by mine Rav Mirav Nachman, "Ganav shoshal shnei shulchan u'svachav v'hodol lechem and mahu." What's the din in general in the following case? You steal a shor that belongs to two shutvin, you shecht it, and then you're moda to one of the shutvin. So generally, moda b'knas is pater. So you're moda that you're chayiv dal vehe, essentially. So but only to one of the shutvin. The other one you're not moda to. So what's the din? Chamisha bakar amar achman v'lo chamisha chatzai bakar. Do we say that you're only chayiv dal vehe if you're chayiv the full dalad vehei? You can't be chayiv half a dalad vehei, meaning the dalad vehei to one shutaf in his chelek, but not to the other shutaf in his chelek. Or maybe no, maybe you chayiv the dalad vehei halfway. I'm chayiv to one shutaf, his dalad vehei. The other one, I'm not chayiv dalad vehei to. So I only pay 50% of the dalad vehei. So I'm alei chamisha bakar marachman v'lo chamisha chatzai bakar. Now it doesn't work that way. You can't be chayiv dalad vehei halfway. You're chayiv the whole thing or nothing. Eisvei ganav mishalav. So the Gemara asks for that now from our Mishnah. Eisvei ganav mishalav v'tavach machar v'achach meisav v'mishan tashlum yarba v'chamisha. If you steal from your father and you shecht and you sell it and the father dies, so you pay dal v'hei v'achach even the meisav v'kamosh shekadim v'adalach me'endami. But wait a second, when the father dies, isn't the guy who stole it one of the yorshim? So he's now one of the shutvim in that shar. So isn't that so he's obviously not going to be chayiv to himself. So isn't that the same case as being moda le'echad mehen, where you're putter from paying one of the shutfim in that animal? V'katani, and still we learn in the Mishnah, Mishav Tashumi Abba v'chamisha. You still chayiv dal vehe. So apparently we should say, chamisha chatsa e bakar. So Amalei, hachamayaskin gon sha'amir av v'bedin. No, the case over here is, where the father already had a din Torah already. Avlam b'din ma'ay, but what would be the halacha if he did not already have a din Torah? Ein l'mashayim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Then you would not be chayiv dal v'hei. Ihachi, but if that's the case, we make that distinction whether he was amad b'din or was not amad b'din. Adetani seifa, ganav mishalav v'vumeis, v'achar kach tavach u'machar, ein l'mashayim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. When we wanted to come up with a case where you're pater from the dal v'hei, why did we pick a case of stealing from the father and having the father die before the Shechita and Mechira? Is it Niflog B'Didei? We could have come up with a case that's much more similar to the one we mentioned where he's Chayiv. Namely, B'Medvar Mamur M'Kshamad B'Din. That when do we say Chayiv Dal V'Hei? When the father already had a Hamad B'Din. Avalo Amad B'Din, and M'Sham Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha. But we should have said that if it's Lo Amad B'Din, then you're Pater from Dal V'Hei. Rather than saying you're Pater from Dal V'Hei in the case where the father dies, where the father dies earlier, just say you're patrim dal vehei, where the father dies just as late, but you didn't have amad b'din with the father. Samalei hachanami, aydi denasa vresha, gavim mishalav v'tavach machar v'achach meisaviv, nasa sefanami, gavim mishalav meisaviv v'achach tavach machar. Now, the only reason we come up with that case is because it parallels the resha better. Since the resha was talking about a case where you steal from your father and you shecht and you sell it and then he dies, so the sefer wants to give the opposite case where you steal from the father, then he dies, then you shecht and sell it. So anyway, litzafra amrle chamisha bakar amrachmana vafil chamisha chatzai bakar. If you recall, this started with Rava asking Rav Nachman a shayla, do we say chamisha bakar v'lo chamisha chatzai bakar or not? And Rav Nachman had said, we say chamisha bakar v'lo chamisha chatzai bakar. So now he says that was at nighttime. But then by the time he woke up the next morning, Rav Nachman had changed his mind. Rav Nachman says, no, we hold chamisha bakar v'afilu chamisha chatzai bakar. We happen to hold that it's chamisha bakar and even chamisha chatzai bakar, that sometimes you will pay half a dalad v'hei if you steal from two shutfin and you're moda to one of them. So you will pay a half a dalad v'hei. V'haydu lo ami lach borta, and that which I didn't tell you that last night, he says, to lo achli bisra datura, it's because I did not yet eat ox's meat last night. Right? Rashi says that means lo dikdakti tamo shel davar. I didn't think things through clearly enough last night. I didn't think the issue through clearly enough, but he had the integrity to say, I made a mistake, and I really hold that as chamisha bakar, v'afilu chamisha chatzai bakar. Okay, v'lo maishna resha maishna seifa. If that's the case, then why is the resha any different than the seifa? What does it make a difference? Rashi says, maishna seifa, given the resha afilu lo amad b'din kamar achmana. If the resha is talking about a case, even if the father did not have amad b'din, the chamisha bakar v'afilu chamisha chatzai bakar, because you could be chayiv chamisha chatzai bakar as well, meaning even if you're one of the yorshim that should have been awarded some of the money, but obviously you don't pay yourself, so you could even have a chayiv chamisha chatzai bakar. So in the sefer where the father dies before you tavach u'machar, why shouldn't you have to pay the chamisha chatzai bakar to your brother? Right, even though the father died before you incurred the obligation. So Amrlei Reisha Karina Bei V'Tavchal Kulo Bi Isura. Seifa Lo Karina Bei V'Tavchal Kulo Bi Isura. We darshin U'Tavchal means Kulo. That when you're Shechti, you're only going to be Chayiv Dal V'Hei when the entire Shechita is Be'Isir. Over here, the entire when the father dies first, and you're already a partial owner in the animal by the time you shecht it, so it's not kula b'yisura, meaning the seifa is not like a case where you steal a shor shel shnei shutfin and you shecht it, but you're moda to one of them. No, in that case, you shechted the entire thing b'yisur. The seifa is more like a case where you happen to be a shutaf with somebody in a shor, and you take a shor that's jointly owned, and you steal it from the other guy and you shecht it. That's a case where it's not kulo be'isr, because you're chelik in it, you could do whatever you want with it. Therefore, it's not considered to be kulo be'isr. Now, the Rav Yaakov Emden writes that line that he says, the reason I messed up the halacha last night was because I didn't eat the meat of oxen. So Rav Yaakov Emden writes, near be'inai rashi mefarish bisra detur kamosha kasav. Like the Gemara says in Basra Daf Chav Beza Min Aleph, Ad Magrimisu Garmi Be'Abaye Ichlu Bisra Shemena Be'Rava. that rather than bite on the bones by Abaye, you should go have some of the delicious meat by Rava. Apparently, Abaye's style of shear was not quite as exciting as Rava's. Rava was a much more meaty type of shear, and they used to say that by Abaye's shear was like chewing on dry bones. Whereas you go to Rava's shear, it's real meaty. It's really enjoyable lumdus. So he's saying, I didn't get to get into the lumdus last night. That's what it means. Now that I think through the lumdus, I think through all the ramifications of the sugya, now I change my mind. That's what it means. Lo achli bisra detura. I didn't eat the ox's meat. The ox's meat is a style of Torah that he's referring to, a depth of the Torah learning that he's referring to. Okay, Ashochiv Nimsis Trefa. We also said, the Mishnah said, if you shecht an animal and it turns out to be a trefa, so you can be chayv dal vehe. Armle Rav Chaviv Michozna Ravashi, Shema mina ein l'shchita al basof. We see that ein l'shchita al basof, meaning not from the case of trefa, the Mishnah then gives a case not just about trefa, but you shecht chulin ba'azara. You're going to be chayiv dal vehei, that you take the animal, which is chulin, that you stole from somebody else, and you go and you shecht it ba'azara, so we say you're going to be chayiv dal vehei. So we see from there that shechita, the shem shachlet, only comes on the animal at the end of the shechita. Because if you're going to say that shechita, the act of shechita, is the entire process from beginning to end, and is not only something that's chal at the very end, then kivan the shachlet ba'porta asra. So then the second you shecht it a little bit, so it's already chulin ba'azara. The second you start the shechita, it's already shechitas chulin ba'azara, and therefore it's already asra ba'anah. And idach lo demari katavach. And then when you complete the shechita for which you incur the chiyuv of dal vehei, it no longer belongs to the original owner because it's already asra ba'anah. We're saying, no, you're chayv dal vehei for that little bit that you begin the shechita with. You're not chayv dal vehei for the end of the shechita like we've been assuming. You're chayv dal vehei, the chiv dal vehei is chal, at the very beginning of the shechita. Amalei Ravashi, lo tirchi, utvachu kulo bi'inan v'leka. So he says, no, because we can reject this suggestion that we just had, that you're only chayav ahu porta, because it says utvachu kulo, that when you shecht the animal that belongs to someone else, it's dafka when you shecht entirely the animal belongs to someone else. You're going to tell me that you're only chayv dal vehei on the first part of the shechita before it became chulin ba'azara? What are you talking about? Pasuk says you chayv dal vehei for utzvacho. Only when the entire shechita is done in the prescribed way, where it still belongs to the original owner. Salakasha. So then, isn't it a problem then? So do we have to therefore say that in the shechita el basof, that it's only called a shechita at the last little bit that you sliced, not at the beginning of the shechita? No, you could still have a case where you say that the shechita is mitchila v'atzov, and it still wasn't chulin ba'azara with the original incision, because maybe when you made the original incision, you made it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and then as you're slicing it, you walk it into the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the last part of the shechita is what makes it both chulin ba'azara and the chiyuv of dal v'hei. So it's not already chulin ba'azara by the time you finish the shechita, because you started the shechita outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Some have the conversation as follows, that Amar Rabbi Shimon Mishum de Rabbi Levi Saba, Eina l'shechita el basof. That really the halacha is, the shechita is only called at the very last minute. If you want to be chayiv for chulin ba'azara, it's not called chulin ba'azara when you begin the shechita, it's only at the very end of the shechita. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, shechita is a process, and the entire thing is called shechita from the beginning to the end. Amrei Rav Chaviv Mechazna l'Ravashi, so Rav Chaviv Mechazna says to Ravashi, Lema k'sav Rabbi Yochanan, should we therefore suggest Rabbi Yochanan holds chulin shnishchu ba'azara lavda raisa, that chulin shnishchu ba'azara is not a din da'oraisa? How can you prove that chulin shnishchu ba'azara is not a din da'oraisa from that? Because the isal gadaitich da'oraisa, because if you held chulin shnishchu ba'azara was da'oraisa, michi shachat aporta asra, the second you shecht it a little bit, right, according to Rabbi Yochanan, yeshon l'shchita mitchil v'atzov. So the second you shecht it a little bit, it's already become aser es chulin ba'azara. And idach lav demar katavach. And therefore, the rest of the shechita, you're not shechting an animal that still belongs to the original owner, because it's already chulin ba'azara. So shall we suggest that therefore you must hold that the whole din of chulin shnishchu ba'azara is not a din d'oraisa, because otherwise you can't say that you chayiv dalet vehei for shchita of chulin ba'azara. So Amar Leir Vachem Reid Rava Kika Mechayim Nami Yahu Porta. He says, no. When we say that Yechayiv the dalav v'hei, it's on that first little bit that Yechayiv the dalav v'hei. So it becomes chulin ba'azara at the same time that Yechayiv the dalav v'hei. But don't we have the same problem that we had before? That doesn't utvachal, for which your chayv dal vehei, imply that you shach the entire thing, and not just that the first incision is what's mechayv the dal vehei, but that the entire shechita is what's mechayv the dal vehei? So again, we're back to the original problem. When you make that initial incision, that's when it becomes chulin shenishchita ba'azara. When you finish the shechita, that's when you chayv the dal vehei. But you shouldn't be chayv the dal vehei once it's already become chulin shenishchita ba'azara, because it no longer belongs to the original owner. So amalei hachiyam rav gam demishrei derava ki kamechayev kikon sheshachan mikzos simanu b'chutz v'gamer b'fnim. No, like we said before, when are you chayv? You're only chayv when you start the shechita outside of the azara, and then you bring the animal inside to finish the shechita. So when you finish that shechita, you are both at the same time making it chulin shenishchita ba'azara and being mechayev dalet v'hei. It is not chulin shenishchita ba'azara prior to that, simply because you weren't in the azara. Same answer we gave before. The only difference between the first presentation of the conversation and the second presentation of the conversation is what we were trying to prove before we gave the answer. Right? In the first presentation of the conversation, we were trying to prove that yeshna shechita mitchil v'yad sof. That eidel shechita l'basof. That it's only called shechita with the last little bit. With the second version of the conversation, what we were trying to prove is that if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that yesh on the shechita mitchil v'atzof, then chulin shenishchita ba'azara is not a din d'oraisa. Tosfos at the bottom points out when we say, should we suggest from here that Rabbi Yochanan's chulin shenishchita ba'azara is not d'oraisa? Tosfos says the truth is v'tiksha didei adidei. We really could have asked a stira diu gufei on parakish mekadosh chulin shenishchita ba'azara d'oraisa yelof l'mikra. We could have said that, you know, he himself, Rabbi Yochanan himself, holds in Maseches Kedushin that chulin shenishchita ba'azara is d'oraisa. So we really could have made the kasha sharper, made it a more pointed kasha, meaning shall we say that we learn from here chulin shenishchita ba'azara is not d'oraisa, is not such a strong question, because the answer could just be, yeah, that's what we learn from here. But Tosfos says we could have sharpened it a little bit by saying, no, that can't be what we learn from here. You can't say that he holds it's not the right. So because he himself says beferish in Maseches Kedushin that it is the right. So the Maskaron all works out anyway, because we have no proof of anything from here. But anyway, that's fine. Now Tosfos says, now what's the underlying assumption of the whole Raya? The underlying assumption is that had chulin shenishchita ba'azara been the Rabbanan, then it would be considered still belong to the original owner. Meaning, what was the problem? If chulin shenishchita ba'azara is d'oraisa, so then when you make that initial incision, it becomes chulin shenishchita ba'azara. So then you can no longer be chayiv dalet v'hei, because it's already chulin shenishchita ba'azara, it's already asa bena, which implies that if chulin shenishchita ba'azara were only d'rabbanan, so it still is considered to belong to the original owner, and you can be chayiv dalet v'hei for the further shechita, if it were only drabban of the whole concept of chulin shenishchita ba'azara drabban. That's the implication. So it says also to be toch kacha in yer ledaktik the krovus of avodah zara asur ba'anah d'oraisa. So based on that, it seems that we can prove that the krovus of avodah zara, that when you use something as a krova for avodah zara, that becomes asur mid'oraisa, because the Gemara says that if you shechle avodah zara, it no longer is demara, it no longer belongs to the original owner. So it has to be that it's d'oraisa, because we're saying over here that anything that's only asur ba'anah mid'oraisa Rabbanan does still belong to the original owner. So it says Tosfos. So you see, so this Gemara is therefore a raya that the krovus of avodah zara is asur bana mida oraisa. But then Tosfos says not necessarily such a raya. Umiri yesh lidchos did the krovus of avodah zara afilu lo asur bana al mida rabbanan chashav leshapri lavdi day. Even if the krovus of avodah zara is only asur mida rabbanan, it still wouldn't be called yours, given the asur chacham b'kalanaos, because the chachamim said that if you use something as the krovus of avodah zara, you can't get any hana from it whatsoever. Even if you use it for kesef kiddushin, it doesn't work because it's totally valueless midrabanan, and therefore would be considered lav demare, as opposed to chulin ba'azara. If it were only drabanan, if you tried to be Mekadesh a woman with Chulin Ba'azara, and it were only Drabbanan, she would be Mekadeshes. So it is considered, in some sense, still de mare, meaning you can't prove the case, you can't compare, to Krovus of Zara to Chulish Nishtu Bazara, even if you assume that they're both of the same status, that they're both only Drabanan, they still wouldn't be exact matches for each other. Because the Krovus of Zara would be a much stronger Drabanan, where it would be usher entirely to use for anything, and it would be considered totally not yours. Whereas Chulish Nishtu Bazara would still have some value to you. Okay, it tells us more to say. Let's just try to get the Mishnah done. Ganav al pishnayim v'tavach u'machar al pihen v'nimtzu zomen. Let's say you steal with two edim, seeing you steal, and then you shecht it or sell it based on the testimony of those two edim, and then those edim are found to be edim zomen. So they're the ones that saw you steal it, they're the ones that saw you shecht it. Now they're edim zomen. Mishalman akol. So they're going to have to pay back everything, because they tried to be m'chayiv yidal v'hei, they're going to have to pay Dalit vehe, makes sense. Ganav al pishnayim v'tavachu machar al pishnayim acherim. Let's say, however, you have one set of witnesses, so you steal it. Another set of witnesses, so you shecht it or sell it. Elu ve'elu nimtzu zomin, and then both sets of witnesses are found to be edim zomin. Then, harishonu mishalma tashlumi kefel, the first set is going to have to pay kefel, because that's what they tried to be mechayiv you, by being made that you stole it. V'achronu mishalma tashlumi gimel, and the last set is going to be chayiv to pay three times, because that's what they tried to be mechayiv you, an additional three times the original payment by their edus. Nimtzu achronim zomin. What if only the last set turns out to be zomin? So hu mishalim tashlum kefel v'heim mishalim tashlum gimel. So then the ganav, who there are still viable witnesses and believable witnesses against him that he stole, so the ganav is going to have to pay the kefel, and the edim zomin, who tried to be mechayiv in the dalet v'hei, are going to have to pay the other three, are going to have to pay the beis v'gimel. Echad min achronim zomin. What if only one of the second set of witnesses, the set of witnesses that saw you either shecht it or steal it, became an eid zomim? So then the second eidus is batel, meaning it's just totally invalid, no one's going to have to pay. Echad min arishonim zomim, batel kol eidus. However, let's say of the four witnesses, two who saw you steal, two who saw you shecht, one of the people who saw you steal becomes an eid zomim. So now what happened? They blew up the eidus of you stealing. So you could have all the edus in the world that you shechted it, but if we don't have any edus that it didn't belong to you, then you're not going to be chayiv anything for the shechita anyway. There's nothing wrong with shechting your own animal. So since that blows up the basic set of edus, of edim that you stole, so then batla kol edus, you're not going to be chayiv anything. Because after all, she'emein geneva, ein tvich vein mechira. If there's no geneva, if we can't verify that you stole the item in the first place, then tficha mechira is meaningless to us, and therefore you're going to be completely patur. Okay, we'll pick up with the beginning of the Gemara, Yetz Hashem, tomorrow.